Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Beefy Voice here to graze with you about a local announcer for the food show. And that's what we're here for. We talk about food. We talk about restaurants, cooking, wine, and everything else you can think of that appertains to those things to talk about.
Sweet.
Our number is what? What in the world is that?
It pertains to eating.
We have participating in eating in the form of what appears to be about 10 bags of chiwis. what in the world is this, and why do you have it here?
Because we have a guest.
We have a guest?
Yes, first of all, I don't know if, you know, Doug has mentioned it because he likes to do that, or if we saw it up here, but today is National Bacon Lovers Day.
National Bacon Lovers Day.
Well, yeah, I thought that was every day, but anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we have Mark Singleton. Doug, is he there?
Mark Singleton?
If we have him on the line, Mark Singleton is here to talk about pork rinds, I think, and other things having to do with National Bacon Lovers Day. Is that right?
Hi, Mark. I'm right here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly, and let's check with the boss back at the studio. Are we sounding okay? Yeah, okay, good.
Good.
Okay. Well, we're all ready then.
Yeah, we are.
Well,
hello, Mark.
You know, it is funny because it is true. Americans, on average, eat 18 pounds of bacon per year. So I agree. I think pretty much every day is bacon.
I can do that at a single breakfast buffet, I think.
Uh-huh. You know what? That is funny. But, you know, bacon over the years is just, as we all know, it's in recipes. It's for breakfast. It's for, you know, sandwiches for lunch and dinner and everything. It's
in brownies sometimes, which I find a little gross.
You know, you've sprinkled on ice cream as well.
But would you?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I don't think there are many people who love bacon more than me, but I just don't feel that it should be part of a sweet dish, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, are you with the company that makes these pork rinds? You are.
Actually, yes, I'm with Southern Recipe Pork Rinds. And we'd like to say that, you know, and you're wondering why, listeners, why pork rinds and bacon and why we talk about that? Because, you know, pork rinds are that bacon-y flavor that everybody looks for, you know. And we like to say we're a bacon southern brother. That's what a pork rind is. So,
yeah.
Bacon's so hard to carry in a pocket, isn't it? You know, when you're on the
Well, I don't know. It depends on how much you need to, you know.
But, yes, pork rinds.
I could do it.
Well, you know, but pork rinds, you know, it is easier to eat, but is that flavor that everybody looks for, you know, and that's what bacon is. I mean, you know, you talk about that umami, it's that salty, fatty, savory, comforting food, and that's why bacon just kind of brings that through. And and we've been around since 1955 as a pork rind company.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and pork rinds are great because they're 9 grams of protein and no carbs, you know, so you get that, you know.
Well, it's basically fried fat, isn't it? It's basically fried fat, and I'm not saying that you're not talking to somebody who's like a fat policeman, okay? Because I think that the word is just starting to get out that fats are actually something that should be your friend. So I don't know how much animal fat, especially something like bacon fat, but I think rather eat that than the fake fat that we are given.
You're exactly right, though. And right now, very hot is the keto diet, which and then Atkins has been around. Pork rinds are great for diabetics, you know. And you talk about fat and all that. You know, pork rinds have half the fat and calories of potato chips, you know, so and more protein, 4 times more protein. So it is a nice quality snack for people, you know. And diets change, as you know. You know,
people, yes,
the keto is very
trends
popular.
Trends change. We're gonna pop open your hot and spicy pork rinds.
Yeah, we can't
right
resist
now.
This anymore.
Doug, I'm sorry that we're not in the studio because you would ultimately be getting these, but maybe I'll just bring them to you later in the week. So, are you telling me that a pork rind is simply a piece of pork fat that's dropped into oil? Is there any other processing required?
It's very close. It's a pork skin, and if crackling, you've seen crackling, it's a heavier, more dense pork rind. That has a little bit of meat on it, a little bit more fat, and that's heavier. But really, at Southern Recipe, we use a proprietary process.
That's not bad.
It's quite spicy, but other than that.
Yeah.
I like this. That is spicy. Well, yeah. I've never really warmed to pork rinds, and I'm not saying this because you're on the phone with us, but I kind of like this.
And I always say for a dipping, too. You know, I mean, you have chips and tortilla chips and stuff like that, but a pork rind, it's a nice little built-in scoop, isn't it? If you have a nice salsa or a cream dip or a bacon dip.
No, it is. It is. Whenever I see it, and I'm seeing it a lot on menus here.
Yes.
I see pork rinds served with like a fish dip sometimes, and I see it with like a chicken salad. And usually when I see it...
Do you have these illusions while you're asleep or awake or not driving?
No, when I'm sitting next to you in a restaurant. And I never really eat them because I think, I don't know, pork rinds. But you know what? This is the first time I'm actually focusing on a pork rind, and I kind of like it. This would work.
But I will tell you, you know, and you have a lot of listeners that are gluten-free, and pork rinds are gluten-free. So we have some great consumers that will take the pork rind and they'll substitute flour, maybe in a pizza crust or something, and they'll substitute one-for-one the pork rind crunched down for flour, and it is a gluten-free alternative. So you have individuals, and like I said, you know, for diabetics, fantastic, you know, no carbs.
Yeah.
9 grams of protein, and so you do have some benefits there, and it's a nice bacony flavor since it's
natural bacon.
We had mentioned at the very beginning that this is eating great bacon.
I'm kind of liking these.
Bacon, it's Bacon Day.
It's so National Bacon Lovers Day.
National Bacon Lovers Day, and so here we are doing it.
Which is a bunch of bunk because every day is a National Bacon Lovers Day.
You know that each year
every day is Mother's Day.
This pork rind is really pretty good.
Oh, in each year the U.S. more than 1.7 billion pounds of bacon is consumed. That's incredible.
Yeah, I really feel sorry for pigs because I could take out a few of those myself all by myself. You know, pigs are a very tasty animal. They are.
Yes.
I'm sorry for them. But anyway, this would be really good with a dip. Next time I'm presented with this, I'm going to eat it.
I appreciate that. Well, and, you know, we take pride in it, too. I mean, you know, we say it's a Southern recipe, but we also, it's a Seeker recipe. Now, the founder back in the day, back in that 50s, the founder's wife, who was a home ec, you know, we're going to dust off an old term, home ec teacher.
Yeah.
They had to come up with a different process, and she was in the kitchen working on this secret process, and to this day we still use it. So it gives you a fresher, more crunch, a little bit fluffier pork rind. So we're proud of that what Mary did back in the 50s is still around and still producing the best-tasting pork rinds in the South, like we like to say.
Well, I think I know what she did. She called for a beer.
Yeah, that actually would be a good idea.
Yeah, that would be a good idea to have these two things put together.
Okay.
A beer and a.
Your list of ingredients here is a little bit lengthy, and I can't. It's also very tiny, so it doesn't look like it's just pork skin and oil.
Yeah, it's pork rind, salt, of course. We have chili peppers in the hot and spicy. We do have onion powder, a little bit of garlic, and a lot of different profiles like that, you know, like paprika. You know, we have different type of flavors that go on in. But the pellet itself, you know, if you see a pork rind pellet, and some of your listeners might say,
did you
what
say
is that?
Did you say pellet?
Yeah. a pork rind pellet. It starts, we process it up, and then you put it in the oil. When you see it pop up, it's incredible.
Uh-huh. It really does pop up. It like gets 3, 4, 5 times bigger than it was when you first put it in there.
So how big is a pork pellet when you drop it in the oil? How big is it?
Oh, I'm going to say it's like a, well, we have different sizes, of course, but I'm going to say, like a 2-inch by 2-inch square-esque, and it's a little bit, maybe an eighth of an inch thick, and you're exactly right, throwing in any oil, and it just pops up. It doesn't pop out of the pan, but it just grows. It's incredible. And we have, we sell that on our website, and people buy big bags, and they have fresh pork rinds anytime. But it is fascinating. You throw a handful in or a little bit more than that, and it just, probably about 15 seconds, it grows to a pork rind, and you season it. So
these things have been sitting on my
fun.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, it's just fun, to see it pop on up, and it's a fresh pork rind.
These things have been sitting on my counter for, I don't know, at least 2 weeks, in the kitchen.
Really?
Yeah, in a box.
With Bobby Abear
hanging around there? And I didn't even touch them because I've just never really been interested in pork rinds. And that's because, clearly, I never tasted the right one. And I know this is very commercially, and obviously that's why you're on, I'm going to go eat these. Doug, you're out of luck, buddy. I'm going to go ahead and eat these because I really do like them. Now, are pork rinds, maybe the pork rinds that I've had in the past, the little tiny bite that I've taken out of the ones that are served on restaurant menus as sort of an amuse-bouche coming to the table, maybe they weren't properly seasoned. Is that the difference, do you think?
I think that's the difference, too. I think you're going to get different people. And then sometimes they'll do real fresh ones in a restaurant, and they're still not processed as well. You'll get that a little bit. Because I'll taste them. I'll go to a restaurant and see. And it's funny because some of the restaurants will use our product, and then they'll season it their own way. And I think that matters, obviously it's the flavor profile, but the fluffiness and how crunchy it is. And that matters to a lot of consumers. And that's where we run out.
I like the taste of it. The taste is good.
Yeah.
It's like, it really is kind of like a chip. I mean, I seriously would maybe trade my nacho spicy Doritos for this.
Well, you make nachos out of it, too. You do lay out very simple. Instead of the taco chip or tortilla chip, use the pork rind, and we have that. And on our website, southernrecipe.com, we have a bunch of different recipes with pork rind, so it's kind of fun.
I would do pimento cheese with this in a heartbeat.
Yes.
Mm. You
perfect.
Know southern pimento cheese?
Yes,
anything,
perfect.
Anything new coming in over the horizon?
We have three flavors here. We have the hot and spicy. We have the hot and spicy. We have salt and vinegar, and we have barbecue here. Do you have other flavors?
And we have the original. The original is just a seasoned salt on that. And we look at different flavors. Sometimes we come out with a special, a flavor, just kind of introduce to see how it goes. And we have different things like that. And it's really how much it goes, we test different flavors, not out to the public, and we do taste tests, and sometimes it's like, well, that was a miss, that's a funky, maybe a funky flavor.
Sounds like my house every day.
Yeah, I think you got to try things out, and it's funny, too, because parts of the country, of course, flavor profiles are different. Now, the world's coming, it's much more, it's small, where it used to be more of a primarily southern delicacy, the pork rind, but now with people movement all over, it is throughout the country. So you get people trying certain flavors and they like it and they move to the Midwest or they move to the West Coast or whatever it might be, and they're going to bring those flavor profiles. So we always do look at different flavors, but these are our mainstay, and we have people that just, they will buy the hot and spicy or the barbecue, and then that's what they stand by.
Gotta love them.
Going back to the history of your company, if it's been around since the 50s,
yes.
Now pork rinds are obviously certainly a hot menu item. I don't know, off the grocery shelf, but how has your business tracked up? Has it been sort of an up and down thing, or is it just really, really going up now in the last, say, 5 years or so?
No, it's been growing. You know, we have been for years the world's largest manufacturer of pork rinds. So, and we have a couple other brands that fall into that. But you'll see, when you see up and down a little bit, you'll see President Bush was pork rind.
Right.
You know, that was it, and you saw a tick up for that. And that was years ago. Atkins diet, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years ago, the Atkins diet was a very hot diet, and it's still very popular now, but you saw a big kick up there. And now over the last few years, it is the keto, you know, that no-carb diets and things like that, and then you'll see a tick up from that. But for the most part, it's just distribution. More and more we get out there, people ordering online, you know, over the last, obviously, the last few years. It's easier to get product dropped right at your front door, and that's where we see the influx of that, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was sure great having you visit us and perk our appetites and also wake us up from the moments in our program where we can't seem to do it for natural.
Wait, Doug, do we have a caller, Doug?
We have a caller?
No, I don't know.
Oh,
yeah, it's
where do you get these things?
Is this on the supermarket shelf or is it online only?
You'll see it at a convenience store. So you'll see convenience stores will be in local grocery stores. But I always tell everybody to get your favorite, go online. You know, we're, of course, online at southernrecipe.com, and you'll be able to order them and free shipping and get any flavor. We talked about the hot and spicy, but the vinegar, the salt and vinegar, Southern Recipe is my product, but I'm going to tell you that salt and vinegar is the best salt and vinegar flavor from any product across, any snack. I just love it. But you get a lot of people that'll try different things, and they can't, you know, they can't get a certain flavor because it's sold out. So go online and order them in and get free shipping. Try it out.
Well, Doug, you just lost the salt and vinegar because I was thinking I was going to save that one for you, but too bad. I still have the barbecue pork rinds, though. Mark, is the barbecue pork rind bag something I should save for myself, or do you think I can give it to Doug?
You don't share anything.
We do that at our house.
Well, we're in our home studio, so I have to make an effort to get this to the producer. So I think I'm going to do that, Doug. I'm going to leave the barbecue flavor for you. I was going to give you both of those other two bags, but now that Mark has told me how good the salt and vinegar is, I'm going to have to just give you the one bag. Anyway, Mark Singleton is with Southern Recipe, which is a pork rind company that has been around since the 50s.
And you can buy this just about anywhere in our area? No?
You can order it online primarily.
Order it online.
Order it online.
What's the address?
Stores. Yeah, but pick them up at convenience stores and online.
Oh, you have those in your vending machine, Doug? They're in the vending machines? Oh, okay. Well, they're probably in vending machines all over then.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, well, I'm going to have to – well, then I don't have to bring these to you, Doug. I'm going to keep this one for myself. You can get it out of the vending machine.
Why?
All right. Mark,
move.
Thank you so much for talking to us. And I'm not joking about this. I think you have just turned me on to pork rinds because those are really, really good.
I wish I had a big bell I could ring it because I'm another pork rind lover. I appreciate that.
Well, it was nice having with you over
here. It's probably not as dramatic as another angel in heaven, but you know what? I'll take it.
You're always welcome to come in and let us know what else you got going.
Thank you, Mark.
I'll do it.
See ya.
I really appreciate it. You guys have a fantastic, rhinetastic rest of the night. How's that?
Thanks so much. Take care.
It's
bye-bye.
It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. You're you, and we would love to hear from you today.
260-6368. You are listening to WWL.
That's kind of like a
105.3.
Pretty much right
FM.
Down the middle, quick little thing.
HD2.
But you don't have to have a special reason to call us or anything like that. You're always welcome to talk about anything.
All right, I'm going to finish my pork rinds, and we'll be back shortly. We are back. 260-6368 is the number. Doug, tell us when you have Pete on the phone. And in the meantime, we are going to just chat because I just saw something in Tom's Almanac that I absolutely want to cover today. I'm also going to take those pork rinds. Doug, do you like pork rinds?
It's not one of my favorite things, but it's I've had worse. And this one was, you know, a nice clean product and very intense sodium and a lot of pepper.
Oh, that's what I like about it. It's got a good flavor.
Yeah,
do you get them out of the vending machine, Doug? Doug? He's probably on the phone.
Yeah.
I am going to take some of that chicken that I have in there that I've been looking at because I found this little chicken in the store, and it was a rotisserie chicken. It was smaller than usual. And so I bought it because it was smaller than usual, because the rotisserie chickens in the store, they feel like, to me, they've been blown up. So I like the little smaller one. So I got it, and I've been sort of snacking on it, and I was thinking, boy, you know, I'd really love to make a chicken salad, but I can't really eat it on anything because it's just, you know, not a good thing. So now I'm going to save my pork rind back. And I'm going to make the chicken salad. This is after I check the ingredients list carefully. I'm going to make that chicken salad with a bunch of celery in it. And then I'm going to eat it on those pork rinds because I thought that was really, really good. I'm very surprised at how much I liked them. Anyway, you know, it just goes to show you I should maybe try things a little more. Today,
why?
Tom, this is super exciting. Today is the Feast of Stephen.
Oh, yeah, as in per the song.
Yes.
You know how to sing that?
Well, no. Yeah. Good.
Doug,
King.
Do we have a copy of that?
Well, I just want to say this because last year at this time, actually not this time, we had left a few days before, but at this time I was in Hungary last year, and they had a big celebration going on. And the day after we left, they had a big fireworks thing over the river in Budapest, and it was for the Feast of Stephen. And today, obviously, it's on your almanac. This is the anniversary, and I was wondering, because everywhere in Hungary there is, and also in that whole area, because Saint Stephen's really a big deal there. So I was wondering who this Stephen guy was. Anyway, it's the anniversary of the founding of Hungary. Stephen, the Prince of Magyars, a people who came into what is now Hungary from Asia centuries before, declared Hungary a Christian nation. This was in 1000. The Pope recognized his authority, and that put Hungary on the map. Hungarian food is distinctive and influential. It's really. And that put and its flavors have migrated into surrounding countries, notably Poland. Its most famous flavor is that of paprika, as they call it, but paprika is what we call it. But that didn't come along until Columbus brought red peppers to Europe. Hungary's famous wine is Tokaj, one of the world's best sweet wines.
That's a very unusual wine. It is it's on the sweet side. And it has been drunk is probably a poor choice of words, but by Hungarians for a long time, to the point where some years ago, it wasn't the Roosevelt Hotel, it was the Hotel Intercontinental, put on every year for quite a number of years, they had these people who had come over from Hungary and were playing Hungarian music and serving Hungarian food. It was really great.
It is really good food.
Have you ever had it?
Hungarian food?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was this little restaurant in Budapest last year called Kor, K-O-R, and it's a tiny little restaurant, really tiny restaurant, totally local, which was a little bit, maybe two or three blocks from the hotel. And actually, a lot of good restaurants around there, but this little one kind of really appealed to us. And I wound up, it was so crowded, and everybody was, obviously knew everybody except us, of course, which is kind of a common Fitzmaurice thing in travel. I was sitting behind the door because that was the only place that was left, and it was delicious. I had to get Hungarian goulash before I left.
Yeah.
And it was not the kind of Hungarian goulash that you would expect, because when you think of Hungarian goulash, you think, oh, that doesn't sound very good. But this was divine. It was, first of all, so stove hot that I burned my mouth, but I didn't really care because it was that good. And there were pieces of filet mignon that were so deliciously braised into this thick, flavorful brown gravy. But it was served not with potatoes in it, but it was served over potato croquettes. And it was absolutely scrumptious. And even Mary Lee, who never tries anything, was smitten by it. You know, Daniel, the gourmet cellist, was on with me one time, and he was talking about this dish called hortobai or something. And I asked about it. I said, if I ever get to Hungary, I'm going to look for this. And they didn't have it that day. It was a special, but I think it's like a crepe, which has meat inside of it. And then it's rolled up and it's got a sauce on it. Now, he said it was ground meat, but the guy at the hotel said they make it with chicken. So I guess maybe it's different, you know, depending on what kind of meat you have. But I would like to try that one of these days. I was only in Hungary to eat. I waited until the very last meal in order to eat some Hungarian food, and I'm disappointed about that. I wish I had eaten more.
Well, you missed one little thing that you might have seen and might not have seen. One of the deals that they get into if they're showing off what they can do, and Hungarian food really is terrific if you get
it. Well, I just had it that one time.
Yeah, but you need to find, you know, where the good stuff is coming from. But one of the little tricks they did was they would shake up a bottle of, they did a fair amount of bubbly wine around there, and they would, the guy who was serving it would put his thumb over the end and shake it, and then he would aim at the mouth of one of the other
people.
I was going for waiters at the time.
I think you should settle
and
for
there
people.
Was,
go ahead.
There was a stream from approximately where I'm sitting to where that microphone is,
which is about 6 feet. People,
it was pretty far, and they'd go right in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable! And then he walked out, and everything had been normalized.
I would definitely love to. I mean, we don't have any Hungarian restaurants, but
not at the
but
moment.
You know, if anyone does a special Hungarian thing, it'd be kind of interesting. But that dish that I was talking about that Daniel mentioned was it's spelled HortBagyi, I think. But anyway, if you see something like that on a menu, ask for it. And I don't know how to pronounce it. But if you go to Budapest, and a lot of people are going on those river cruises, go to the restaurant Kor, KOR, which is around sort of the main square by the by the big bridge by the Four Seasons. By Stevens.
Very interesting.
It's by the, you know, we were like two blocks from the Stevens Square.
Mm-hmm.
So happy Stevens Day to everyone.
Yeah, there's a song, a popular song.
Yeah, it's Good King Wenceslas.
Is that where?
It's a Christmas song.
This one was, I think it was a pop song.
Dun, 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 on the Feast of Stephen. I don't know the rest of it.
All right. It's the food show.
It's going to be Christmas
We'll do our own music from now on.
Doug, where's that song? You're so good at pulling up songs out of the ether. It'll remind us of Christmas, which will, in fact, be here very shortly. 260-6368 is the number. Hopefully, we will come back with Pete Kusiv, WWL FM 105.3 HD2. Oh, you know what I'm looking? I'm looking inside this bag of pork rinds and looking at them from this angle.
Yeah.
They look like that snack that I don't even know is still on the market, Bugles. Do you remember those things? Bugles.
No, but it sounds familiar.
I used to hate those things. And I'm not really a big snack person, like a snack like this kind of thing. But Bugles were something that my mom was really high on back in the day. Are those are they still on the market? And also Fritos, are those still on the market?
Well, I can guarantee you Fritos are.
Are Bugles, though? Bugles were, I don't know. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number if you would like to tell me if Bugles are still on the market, because I'm never going to go to the store and actually look for them. I'm just kind of curious. Tom, in your Gourmet Gazetteer here, now I'm going to take you to task for this.
Oh, go right ahead. It wouldn't be the first time.
But it says Sotol Vista is a well-named spot in Big Bend National Park in West Texas.
It is.
Now, usually everything in your almanac has some food connection, and I keep looking for the food connection, but I don't see it. And I think you're just saying that, Tom, because you like Big Bend so much. Where is the Chili Pepper Cafe? Ah,
they
now we get
have
to
that.
It.
And the Big
we
Bend
get to it.
Is also
all the way to the last sentence, though.
In the end of the season, which doesn't tell you very much, but it's this is the desert. Sotol Vista is the name of the
is that town. That's where Terlingua is?
Terlingua, that was exactly what I was going to say, because you walk out the back door of the park officially, and then there are these guys trying to hustle you into the
Terlingua?
Terlingua, which is the house of the barbecue capital of the world.
I love that little cave-ish barbecue place. I remember that. I haven't been there in 30 years, but I remember it like yesterday.
That's one of my favorite places to show up. And
you know what I think we should do, Tom? We should go. No, this is terrible.
Oh, I can't wait. Now, we can't just let this sit here. We got to find out what this is. What kind of T-shirt it is.
No. Tom, you used to say, you know
sneakers.
What? When I get old, drive me out to Big Bend and just leave me there.
You know, I actually told people to do that.
I know. So I'm thinking we'll go to Terlingua, we'll have some barbecue, and then Tom will never be seen or heard from again.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be gone.
I
guarantee you that. That is a place, you know, the Sotol thing.
The end of the earth, yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's among.
But you did say that. You remember you used to say that? Look, when I get old, I don't want to be old, so just drive me out to Big Ben and just leave me
you
out
know,
there.
This tells me that you've been paying attention all along.
No, I just think about it constantly. When can we get to Big Ben?
That is one of the most obscure things I have ever said that you would remember still after 35 years.
No, I'm thinking about it because Terlingua, I never actually think about Big Ben, but I do remember Terlingua and that particular barbecue place. And I'm wondering if it's still there.
Yeah.
Does anybody
ever
go to Big Bend? Have you been to Terlingua? And do they have that place still?
I'll bet you they do. I'd be surprised if they didn't have that.
Now people are filing this. They're writing this down. If Tom goes to Big Bend and doesn't come back, they're going to look for me. But it was his request. I'm just telling you. I'd be giving him what he wants. 260-6368 is the number. That is 260-MENU. We are going to be talking to Pete Kusiv from the Lake House. Pete Kusiv is a really interesting person.
Yes,
with
he is.
And just a mind-boggling resume. I mean, he goes back to Jamie Shannon. He rode in on a bike with Jamie Shannon.
My kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. And he has been kicking around the North and South Shore for a while. So he is going to be a fascinating person to talk to, and I'm looking very forward to that whenever we talk to him. But currently he is at the Lake House and turning out really, I mean, he is really good. He's turning out great food. Also, he is working on the new La Provence because
I have heard that.
Because Mr. Kamen, thank God, bought La Provence, and it's going to be get ready for the halcyon days of La Provence.
They had renovated that place, and the building was all right to begin with. But they have come in and done some renovation there.
Well, they haven't really started yet.
Well, they have it planned, and I have no doubt that he will have any problem.
I know it's
going to
be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic. Because
what
he's done with the Lake House is fabulous. And if you have not been to the Lake House on the weekend for $33 a person, you can have what amounts to like a wedding banquet.
Yeah,
under a beautiful white tent, and it's just gorgeous. And on holidays, it's extraordinary. It's really, really extraordinary. And Pete is kept very busy by Cayman with his movie business and all the other pies that Cayman has his fingers in. 260-6368 is the number. Steve has gone underground because he knows that he must apologize to you in front of me and everyone else.
What for?
And he doesn't even know why, but he will when he calls. Steve,
yeah.
Yes. Steve owes you an apology, Tom, and I aim to get it for you.
Oh, I can't wait.
Your gourmet almanac is not all that big today.
No?
Yes, it's not. It's not all that big.
We have a Saints thing here that you have zoomed past.
I have. Well,
yeah, well, maybe I'm looking in the wrong.
I think you're probably
the Pots and Pans.
I think you probably have just imagined the Saints thing. The Saints are not playing today, although I did see someone, what is today? Today's Tuesday. Yeah, someone was wearing a Saints jersey today at a restaurant where I went, and I thought, wait a minute, what day is it? Because the Saints do play on different days, but and then you can always tell that they're playing because servers are wearing Saints jerseys, but I think maybe they've just gotten to wearing them all the time. Because the Who Dat Nation is an intense supporter of their team. That is for sure.
Yes, indeed.
Anybody going to the Queen concert tonight? I'm jealous. I'm very jealous.
Is that what you're doing tonight?
No, I'm not. I'm not. Mary Lee and I talked about it, and there was another person we were going to go with. And then one by one, the Indians just sort of fell away. And I'm not really – it's like my FOMO meter – is on red right now.
FOMO?
Yeah, fear of missing out. My FOMO meter, which pretty much is kind of like my evil puppet master, and I am just a hapless tool to my FOMO meter. And it drives me to do things that I absolutely should not do under normal circumstances, but like I said, I'm just a tool. So
what that means when you say... Like I say, this is something we noticed back in the 1960s on the old WSNB.
What's that?
Is that whenever a caller into the show would be talking for...
They would repeat themselves.
That what they would say is, but again I say...
Yeah. Well, that means that at some point I've said it before.
That
so
that was it. That we are going to hear everything this guy already has said.
Well, I like to think
all
I don't.
Over again.
I like to think I don't do that. I'm talking about
at
some other reference. I have said that, but I and apparently an incredible number of people are currently obsessed with Queen because of Bohemian Rhapsody. And we have toyed with the idea of going to the Queen's concert for about 6 months now. And as it got closer and closer, we had to finally make the decision on whether or not we were going. And it was kind of decided for us when somebody texted me saying the tickets are on the ground only at $500 a piece. And I went, oh, okay, well, FOMO meter be damned. I'm not going. So,
yeah,
anyway,
good.
If you're going to the Queen concert, call me tomorrow and tell me what it was like. Whenever I go to a concert, I always leave going, why did I do that?
Or any restaurant,
that's how
really.
That's how I felt when I went to the Michael Bublé concert, which was fine, but just, ordinary. I mean, I'm sorry. I hope I'm not insulting anyone, but he didn't play any of the fake Sinatra songs that I like.
Yeah, I mean...
260-6368 is the number. 260-MENU. Jack Teagarden is in your almanac.
No
also,
kidding.
Tom, one of the greats of jazz.
Whoa,
and
what a
big band trombone.
He was like nothing I've ever seen.
Oh, he was from North Louisiana. Wait, is that right? No.
No, that's somebody else.
John Cooksey. Okay.
Tea
garden. What is a tea garden?
A tea garden is exactly what it says. It's a place where you sit down and have tea.
Are there tea gardens in America anywhere, or are those just in Asia?
Yeah. The English tea room. I think that's the name of it. It's in downtown.
That's not a tea garden. Huh? That's not a tea garden.
Sure, it is.
Is a tea room and a tea garden the same thing? I don't think
Pretty
so.
Pretty much. It's where you go and you sit down with friends and you have tea, and it's tea that's so well
put together. I don't know, Tom. I think a tea garden is an Asian thing.
Well, maybe there's an Asian. They certainly do drink a lot of it in Asia. But anyhow, Jack Teagarden, that was just, I think it was his birthday or something. But the other one you mentioned was Jack Teagarden, I think?
Oh, Cooksey.
Cooksey. And he wound up being, I can't remember what, it was a major Louisiana state of...
Okay, I have to jump in here.
Yeah, and stop it before it gets away.
Yeah, and since I can't help you because I have no idea at all where you're going with it, I just have to say stop.
He's the kind of guy who would be the state.
Yeah, something or another.
Yeah.
Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. I will give you a quote from Alfred Newman, which is also in Tom's Almanac.
Alfred E. Newman?
Yes.
Yeah,
it is. We are living in a world today where lemonade is made from artificial flavors and furniture polish is made from real lemons.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the guy on the cover of Mad Magazine.
There's something really depressing about that.
Yeah.
But true.
Well, just you can fix it easy enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, go and get some tea.
Well,
I mean, after all.
In a tea garden.
Sure.
No less.
Yeah, no less than that.
Yeah. Let's see, where have we been eating lately? We covered all the places. I've been writing just nonstop.
Have you? Me too.
Nonstop about all of the things that we have to write about because it takes a lot to cover places to put out a publication like NoMenu.com, which, by the way, if you haven't been to lately, you should check it out. NoMenu.com. We had a piece today on NoMenu.com about the party that we went to, you and I, for Tenney Flynn's book, the celebratory party for The Deep End of Flavor. That guy can really cook. And I am determined before the end of culinary season to make it over there for their culinary. And if I don't, I just want to go over there and eat because I haven't been in a really long time to that restaurant. But going to that party and talking to them reminded me of how committed to absolute excellence they are. And I have to have some more of those lobster dumplings and the barbecue shrimp.
What, from the thing?
From the party.
From the party
at SoFab. But anyway, there's a write-up about that party on NoMenu.com today.
Hmm.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes. And the other thing on NoMenu.com is a breakfast report about Mandy's that they're probably not going
to
like.
How many did we determine? How many places to eat breakfast are there on the North Shore?
12.
12
on just the North
Shore.
Isn't
that amazing? I would never have guessed.
Well, I would because everybody wants breakfast. My sister is obsessed with eating breakfast. And any chance, if she had to choose a meal to go out and eat, bizarrely, it would be breakfast, which I don't get at all. But then I'm not a breakfast eater. But there are 12 places now on the North Shore. And the conversation that we had while we were at Mandy's was, you know, in the time that Mandy's started, it was just Mandy's serving breakfast. And now there are 12 places serving breakfast. Mm. And quite a credible breakfast in a lot of cases there. I wonder how that has affected the business at Mandy's.
Well, they all seem to be pretty busy. And a lot of them, like all the ones that I go to routinely, which is about... Oh, I'd say half a dozen.
Well, if left to your own devices, you would only go to Mattina Bella.
No, I go there, but they're always busy.
Yeah.
And then
you go to Abita Roasters, too.
Abita Roasters, same story. You have to wait for a while to get a seat in there. And just about everywhere you go, that's how it is. So everybody loves it.
I don't remember if I, in the counting of the breakfast places, included the brunch places too, because my favorite place, my absolute favorite place to have breakfast is really a brunch, and that's at Oxlot 9.
Mm. Yeah, you and
I love Oxlot 9. I love Oxlot 9 even to get just a biscuit, bacon, and an egg. It's just a favorite place. And it's not appreciably more expensive than if I went to some breakfast joint and got a much less classy version of that same thing on a plate. I mean, well, it's not more expensive at all, really. Go ahead, what?
Well, you know, speaking of, you were
breakfast.
Speaking of it, so. Yeah, breakfast. One of the other things that I see kind of forming itself is a dinner or a lunch, really, that kind of comes out like a breakfast.
Are you talking about brunch?
Brunch, yeah, but, you know, brunch is brunch. I mean, when you see the eggs coming out, but there are some lately where there are no eggs, and it just kind of, it's rolling right along.
Well, usually in order to make something brunch, you have to include an egg with it. Like,
yeah,
for example, you can get a hamburger at Oxlot, but it will have an egg on it. Or you can get griots and grits at the Chimes, which, by the way, might be some of the best griots and grits out there.
At where?
At the Chimes, although I'm mad at the Chimes right now.
Chimes is ups and downs a little bit.
Well, the griots and grits on their brunch menu is spectacularly good. I mean,
okay. I was thinking that for a while.
Second to none. Well, you haven't had it since then, so how could that change your mind?
Just about a week ago.
Anyway, I don't know if they have an egg on that plate, but I think they might. It's actually a bowl. It's a bowl of grits and griots. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. That's 260 menu. We had brunch at Hambone, also on the North Shore, the other day, and that was
good.
It was good, but it was not as great as the dinner that we had there. If I'm gonna have ham, I like it to be kind of crusty.
Yeah.
No, I like it to be crusty. This was not crusty. This might as well have been you know, I won't say cold ham, but it didn't have a crust on it at all, and it didn't have any kind of, I like it to be a little bit stiff, almost like bacon.
105.3 FM, HD2, Kenner, New Orleans, WWL Radio, New Orleans. More of the food show follows the news. Stay tuned, will you?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.